بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم، ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. فقال له رجل: يا رسول الله، إن امرأتي خرجت حاجة وإني اكتتبت في غزوة كذا وكذا. قال: انطلق فحج مع امرأتك. متفق عليه. This chapter, brief chapter, but like I mentioned, of great importance and pertinence, particularly when it is weighed in the light of the attitude that currently has taken vogue in the Ummah with regards to the barriers that the Shariat advocates between men and women, that which we call taking great precaution so far as observing the rules and regulations of Parda. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly in the instance of traveling, a woman traveling alone in Islam without a mahram, this is something that is totally prohibited. But we find in this hadith another point of caution and prohibition, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yakhluwanna rajulum bi imra, that no male should be alone with a female. When it comes to interaction or connection with women, in other words, those which are not from our maharim, the first thing that Shariat strongly advocates, that which the Quran, we find Allah Ta'ala commands us, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men, lower your gaze. In other words, the temptation to look, first and foremost, we must have this veil of modesty, parda, have this veil where we lower our gaze. The second precaution which the Shariat advocates, as is found in this hadith, is that of khalwat. Don't ever be alone with a woman that is not from your maharim. That is a point which we will come back to. The second part of the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is pertinent to the chapter which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this particular incident. وَلَا تُسَافِرُ الْمَرْأَةَ إِلَّا مَعَ ذِي مَحْرَمٍ. Nor should you go on a journey unless you have a... In other words, a woman should not go on a journey unless there is a mahram with her. As we mentioned, the masla, 77 kilometers. However, based on the various riwayat, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather than distance, advocates period of time. Various riwayat, as we mentioned yesterday, some place Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yawmain, a journey of 2 days. Somewhere 3 days, somewhere one night, somewhere half a day, somewhere one day. And in the previous riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, masirata yawmin wa laylatin, a distance of one day and one night. So the actual prohibition is the khawf of fitna. If there is a possibility of fitna, even if it is less than 77 kilometers, there also it will not be permissible. How strongly Islam advocates this? We touched upon this yesterday. One Sahabi says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, my wife has gone on Hajj, in other words, alone without a mahram. Wa inni uktutibtu fi ghazwati kada wa kada. I have been conscripted, in other words, I have been appointed to join so and so expedition. In other words, in jihad fi sabilillah. Even in that instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands the sahabi, intariq, leave the jihad fi sabilillah, fa hujj ma imratik, and accompany your wife on hajj. In other words, under no circumstances, even if it means you're sacrificing your jihad, should a woman be alone without a mahram on a safar, on a journey? One or two points ulama ikram deduce from this. First and foremost, when it comes to choosing the companion on a journey, in all instances, she can travel with a mahram, a father, brother, etc., maternal, paternal, uncle. Yet, if there is a choice, the first choice in Islam will always be her husband. Because he has the greatest right in accompanying his wife on journey, and the objectives of the journey or the objectives of this prohibition will be fulfilled or derived to the maximum extent with a husband rather than any other mahram of hers. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when faced with this dilemma the Sahabi presents, he didn't ask that, is there another mahram? Is your father-in-law alive? Is your brother-in-law alive? Ask him to join her and you carry on with the jihad. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask that question. He commanded the Sahabi, in talaq fa hujma imratik. The second point which ulama ikram mentioned, they say that jihad fi sabilillah, despite its importance, there were other sahaba to fulfill that. However, this role of being mahram to a solitary woman on a journey, that was unique to this particular sahabi fulfilling that. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advocated and asked the sahabi to leave the jihad fi sabilillah and join his wife on this journey of Hajj. As we mentioned yesterday, we should bear in mind that today we have generally a very, very lax attitude towards this. One is khalwat, being alone with woman who is not part of our mahalim. The other is an undertaking a journey, today for touring, nowadays for study purposes, sometimes for business reasons. We find women are undertaking journeys without mahram. And when this prohibition of Islam is presented, this scenario is advocated that by don't be alone with a woman, be very, very careful, lower your gaze, this type of free attitude towards making safar and journey is something that is very, very dangerous. All sorts of problems can occur, fitna can take place. Then we find that we have, unfortunately, this very standard answer that my heart is clean. In other words, somehow or the other, I am safe from this. However, when we weigh this in the light of Quran and Hadith, we find this to be a very, very weak argument. Classical example, more clean than the heart of a Nabi, Yusuf alayhi salam. What does we find in Surah Yusuf in the Quran? قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكم من الجاهلين. He said, oh my Allah, Yusuf al-Islam makes dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, I am faced with this fitna, where these women are trying to make me do haram. So he says, Ya Allah, I am making dua, let me go to jail. رب السجن أحب إلي. Going to jail is more beloved than what these women are inviting me towards. Why? وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ. O Allah, if you don't save me from their fareb, from their temptation, from their cunning and their plotting, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. This is literal translation. Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi of Allah, is saying to Allah, if you don't save me from their cunning, I will lean towards doing something haram and wrong. That is my fear. So, if a Nabi does not feel that he is safe from this fitna, then how you and I reach these type of conclusions? We find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so dangerous this is. He said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرْ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I have not left behind me any fitna that is more dangerous and more harmful upon the men of my ummah than the fitna of women. We find in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كانت في النساء. The first fitna that took place in the Bani Israel was with regards to women. We mentioned the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. It's mentioned about Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who was Abu Huraira? As we mentioned many times, the most prolific narrator of hadith amongst the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Abu Huraira. 5,374 hadith. Why so many hadith? Because from the time he accepted Islam, the amount of time that Abu Huraira spent in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, it is mentioned about Abu Huraira. Normally, when a person gets old, then this madda or this essence of passion, desires, normally ebbs in a person. So it's, in other words, it's very weak in an elderly person. Yet Abu Huraira, in the latter part of his life, as he reached old age, it was noticed that he would very, very often make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an azni. This is literal translation. Abu Huraira, O Allah, I beg you to protect me. I seek your protection from making zina. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from making zina. So someone said to him, Kabura sinnak. وَأَنْتَ صَاحِبُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَتَخَافُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ مِنَ الزِّنَا. That Abu Huraira, you have become old now. You are an old man. And you are a special companion of Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Do you fear that perhaps you will commit zina, Abu Huraira? What was his response? كَانْ خُولْ كَرْ سُلِّنَا. Listen with the ears of Iman. What was the response of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu? كَيْفَ آمَنُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي وَإِبْلِيسْ حَيٌّ. How can I ever feel that my nafs is safe when Iblis, Shaitan, is alive? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no man will be alone with a woman except that Shaitan will be the third one. So do not go against that which the Shariat advocates. The incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, which I mentioned earlier in the same context. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْرَا وَتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قُلْنَ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ قَالَتْ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ الْآنَ حَصَّصَ الْحَقِّ أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. In that context, I'm not going to go into the incident, obviously we've got time constraint. In Yusuf alayhi salam, when the wife of the minister of Egypt admits that Yusuf alayhi salam is innocent and that she had tried to tempt him to commit zina, etc. In that context, when the false accusations have been eradicated and the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam has been established in the court of the king, at that time, what does he say? It's mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. He says, I can never ever claim the innocence of my soul. Why? Because the soul will keep on commanding you towards the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala if you are not careful. In other words, the precaution which Sharia teaches us, we should never feel that we are above that or we are not in need of that. It's mentioned about Sa'id bin Musayyib rahimahullah. He was amongst what we call Kibarut Tabi'in, the Tabi'in, the generation after Sahaba. Many ulama feel that he was Sayyidut Tabi'in, he was the leader of the Tabi'in. It's mentioned about him, Jama'a Bain al Fiqh wal Hadith, was Zuhdi wal Ibadati wal Wara. He was a living embodiment of Fiqh, comprehension of Deen, of Hadith, of piety, of abstinence, of Ibadat, etc. Makhul, rahimahullah, says about Sa'id bin Musayyib, تفت الأرض كلها في طلب العلم فما لقيت أعلم من ابن المسيب. I traversed the whole earth in seeking the knowledge of deen. I did not find anyone who was more proficient in the knowledge of deen than Sa'id bin Musayyib rahimahullah. Sa'id bin Musayyib himself says, قال سعيد بن المسيب ما أيس الشيطان من ابن آدم إلا أتاه من قبل النساء. Shaitan never loses hope. in any person of deviating him. In other words, this person's piety, his taqwa is such that even shaitan feels that I can't deviate him. Then what does shaitan do? Atahu min qibalin nisa. Shaitan will approach this person from the direction of women. Temptation of zina, temptation of immodesty, temptation of one's gaze being free. Wa inna akhwafa ma akhafu ala nafsi fitnatan nisa. Sayyid bin Musayyib, Kibarul Tabi'in, Sayyidul Tabi'in. He says that the greatest fear I have over my nafs is the fitna of women. So this is not something that we can take lightly. Islam has placed barriers. Islam has taught us, lower your gaze. Never be in solitude with women. And this attitude, where today masturat are making suffer, sometimes for business, sometimes for study. If you look at the universities of the world today, what is it we are advocating? Female education. At what cost? At what expense? At what exposure? Islam has given us certain barriers, certain precautions, and we have to advocate that. Otherwise, we have to implement that. Otherwise, unfortunately, we can see the type of incidents that are occurring. Allah make our ifadah.